What's up, people? David James Young here for another week of All My Friends Are in Bar Bands. Hope you're all doing well. I hope you have been catching as much great live music as you possibly can. I have been ridiculously busy the last few weeks, which is why there's been a bit of a delay getting this episode up. But I assure you it is absolutely worth it because today's guests are Pagan. I have Nikki and Dan from the band, the excellent Melbourne, I guess, metal, post-hardcore, alternative, rock, something kind of band. They are working very hard to do something that is very distinct and very uniquely theirs, and I absolutely commend them for it. They put out their debut album earlier this year. It's called Black Wash. And they launched that with an album tour a few months ago. And they came up to Sydney and played the Lansdowne. And did a fucking ripper of a headlining show there with Low and Mental Cavity, which was an absolute barnstormer. But before all that went down, I had a chat with Dan and Nikki over at Young Henry's in Enmore about everything that the two of them have been through so far as a part of Pagan and everything else. There's a bunch of bands and stories that come before that, as well as, I'm sure, if you've listened to this podcast before, you are probably aware. That's what we try to do here. We try and scratch below the surface a little bit and see what comes up. And in this case, it came up with two lovely people with a bunch of great stories to share. If you are in Melbourne and you would like to see the wonderful people of Pagan play at one of their absolutely fantastic live shows, you have one more chance for the rest of the year. On the 5th of November, so not this coming Monday, but the Monday after. It's a public holiday in Melbourne, if I'm not mistaken. Pagan will be headlining their Arrivederci Melbourne show at the Grace Darling Hotel. They will be joined by In Trenches and Year of the Rat. So definitely head along to that if you are in the area and you want to see what all the fuss is about when it comes to Pagan. I can assure you they are at the top of their game right now. They are absolutely killing it, and the live show is just next level. So yes, if you're in Melbourne, the 5th of November, Grace Darling Hotel, In Trenches, Year of the Rat, and of course, Pagan. I want to give a big thanks to Nikki and Dan for being on the podcast, to Young Henry's for having us, and to Jenna Alexopoulos, formerly now of Super Duper PR. I'm 90% sure that this was the last thing that she set up before she folded the PR company. So I want to give a big thank you to Jenna, because Jenna was a big part in getting a bunch of people on the podcast, and I really, really appreciate everything that she has done and everything that she will continue to do in the future, wherever she may roam. So thank you to Jenna for setting this up, and thanks to Super Duper PR. We hardly knew ye. Okay, in the meantime, if you want to get in touch, you know the usual outlets, barbandspod@gmail.com, barbandspod on Twitter and Facebook, allmyfriendsareinbarbands.com. I would love to hear from you, so yeah, please get in touch. And if you like what you hear, as always, don't forget to rate and review and subscribe wherever you get your podcasts. That is massively, massively appreciated, as is all of the constant support happening over on Patreon. For as little as $1 a month, you can help to keep this podcast up and running and support independent Australian podcasting. If that is all of interest, head over to patreon.com/barbands. That's patreon.com/barbands. Got a bunch of stuff in the backlog that I'm working through at the moment, so the rest of the year is looking pretty damn sweet, if I do say so myself. But in the meantime, let's catch up with Nikki and Dan from Pagan.
We'll be right back.
fine, I'm David James Young, and all my friends are Bob. And today I would like to introduce you to my friend Pagan.
Yes, hello.
How are you, sir?
Very well, thank you. Please introduce yourselves.
I'm Nikki, and I am the vocalist of Pagan.
And I am Dan, and I play the bass guitar and sing a little bit and send lots of emails.
Perfect. Yeah. That's a very important part of bands. People underappreciate the good email. Like,
yeah.
It's a lost art form.
It's a real art form, yeah, to a good email.
Yeah.
Big fan.
Yeah, you gotta set that shit up on stage, you know, just like, get a big rig for the, you know, backing emails, yeah, you know, there's a lot going on at any given time.
I check my phone in between every song, yeah, just to make sure.
Just fire a couple off. Yeah. Just hammering on a certain note, just dun 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 dun. Sick. Boom. Yeah. That's it.
Yeah.
Perfect. Primo multitasker.
Yeah,
agreed.
Thank you.
Yeah. It's Friday afternoon. We are here at Young Henry's in Newtown, and Pagan are back in Sydney on their album tour. Very exciting times. How the show's been going so far?
It's been amazing. This is actually our last show of the tour tonight, so it's going to go off with a bang, I hope.
Yeah.
It's just been overwhelming, I guess.
Yeah, sure.
Like, we didn't really know what to expect. Obviously, it's our album tour, but it's also our first ever headline tour.
Yeah, that's right.
So, it was a pretty ambitious, I suppose.
Yeah. Totally.
And it's exceeded our expectations, for sure.
Yeah, it's been very humbling and a very sort of weird experience watching, like, people lining up for the shows and handing over their tickets and kind of remembering that, like, I'm not... That's our show.
Yeah.
That's people coming to see us. It's not.
Yeah,
we're not opening for a band that people like.
It's
some people bought some tickets to see us play. So that's been really cool. It's been very, very, very grateful for it.
Yes, of course. Now, the first time I saw Pagan was with previous guests of the show, lifetime friends of the show, Totally Unicorn.
Yeah.
The best
of
friends.
Very, very best. How did that tour come about? Was that just kind of like a blind date? Just like, oh, you guys should be friends.
So Drew and I have, like, prior to that tour, we're ultimate of friends now. But before that, it was, we'd crossed paths for so many years.
Right.
Just in different bands that we'd played in. And finally, I don't know, I think it was just this sort of, like... You know, we finally got to do something together. They kind of just wrote to us out of the blue, but I think it was sort of this. We knew of each other for a very long time, and I think I always really liked the bands that he was doing, and I think he kind of liked the bands that I was doing, and it was sort of just this culmination of like, oh, we should definitely be friends, and our band should definitely play together, and it ended up being like that was our first tour. That was the first time we'd ever left Melbourne.
And now we've literally made lifelong friends. Like, any time we're in Sydney or there in Melbourne, we'll stay at each other's houses and help each other out, and it's so nice.
Yeah.
We were just like, every band must be like this. Every tour must be like this.
Exactly. We're like, touring's so much fun, and then it's not.
You learn that by heart. Right?
Yeah.
Well, still there, you know, silver linings and stuff like
I'm still waiting for mine, bro. Still waiting for mine.
So I begin these by tracing back the initial interest in music, specifically where it changed from being something that maybe you were watching on radio or listening to on the radio or something like that to the realization that it's like, this is what I want to do. I want to sing or play an instrument or be in a band. I want to be a musician. Nikki, we'll start with you. Tell us how music kind of factored into... like your childhood and your growing up, and like if there was any kind of switch on moment for you, which is like, that's what I want to do.
When I was a young teenager, my twin sister and I found sort of escapism in punk and hardcore and metal music. We'd lock ourselves in our shared bedroom away from the rest of our family, and we'd just listen to music, and she used to play guitar and I would make up lyrics and sing along.
Oh, cool, yeah.
And I would just listen to bands and I would actually like visualize, like I'd close my eyes and I would imagine myself fronting the bands and being the one singing.
Wow, yeah.
So I just knew one day it was like my destiny, I guess. And I studied acting for 3 years, and I think that's what gave me the confidence to not only stand on stage in front of a bunch of people, but also use my voice the way I can use it. Before Pagan, I played in another band called Little Lamb and the Rosemaries, which Dan was in as well.
Right.
And from there, yeah, Pagan formed, I guess, because we really enjoyed being in a band together and could trust each other. With
Yeah, for sure. Definitely.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So what about you, Dan?
Yeah, I think my story is a little bit less romantic than Nikki's, because for me, my dad always played in bands. So I kind of grew up watching him play in like cover bands and stuff. So it was sort of like, for me, it was like, you know, like some kids have a dad who's like a carpenter, and so then they end up becoming a carpenter, sort of it's like the family business, you know?
Yeah.
And it was sort of inevitable. Like for me, it was like, I'm going to end up doing this eventually one day, but I always knew too, I didn't want to do it the way he did it, you know, like I always wanted to sort of like, I knew that like writing songs, like a big thing for me was, in high school I also got into literature, so I got into writing, and like lyrics were a really big thing for me. I don't write lyrics for Pagan, but you know, so writing my own songs was always really important, but yeah, I think it was just inevitable for me that I was going to be involved in music and in like performing music in some way, just because I'd see my dad do it. There was always guitars and stuff lying around the house, and it was just very, it was a very easy kind of, you know, stepping stone for me to kind of find it and understand that it was a thing that I wanted to do.
Did you both grow up in Melbourne?
Yeah.
I grew up in the Mornington Peninsula. Growing up there, it was very different to like anything that was alternative.
Yeah, of course.
And my twin sister and I would get picked on a lot in high school for dressing in tartan pants and band t-shirts, and we would go to hardcore shows. The hardcore, well, metalcore, I would call it.
Sure, yeah.
Metalcore scene was really looming in that area, like Carpathian were born out of there. There's a number of bands that, like Getaway Plan and stuff.
Oh, yeah, of
not
course,
being
yeah.
as metalcore, they're a bit more screamo, yeah. but...
Well, Clint ended up in Amity, so, you know.
Yeah, like, it was all very connected, and we would always go to... a venue in Somerville, which is near Mornington, called Mechanics Hall, and see all the bands there.
Yeah.
So I think that really affected my lifestyle choice of getting into this kind of music, because it was my way of escaping the very middle class, very conservative society that is down there.
Yeah, totally.
Yeah, for me, I grew up like right over the other side of town, so I grew up in like the western suburbs of Melbourne.
Werribee?
Not quite as Wild West, but like, yeah, still sort of in that general direction.
Yeah, right.
And the kind of music that I got into, like when I started listening to punk and hardcore, was so foreign that for us, you know, for the small group of friends that I had, we had to kind of go over to Nikki's side of town to see those shows, because they just didn't exist where we grew up. But it was great because, you know, punk and hardcore and metal was ultimately the reason that I learnt to kind of leave my hometown and, you know, explore other places around Melbourne, and, you know, even just like learning to catch a train to get into the city so I could go to Missing Link Records you know, buy Alkaline Trio CDs was like all because of, you know, that kind of world that I'd sort of become fascinated with. And it really was a fascination because, like I said, it just didn't exist where I was, so we really had to go and seek it out. And it was cool. It was like you learn a lot of life skills from trying to buy punk records and see bands play, you know?
Totally, yeah. When was the first time you both performed live?
Like in a band?
Yeah, or... some people have even gone for like piano recitals and shit. So if there's anything rattling around in the archives.
Well, when I was three, I did a calisthenics concert.
Hey,
that's cool.
Hell yeah.
That was my first time on stage. I'm somebody who loves being on stage.
Yeah,
I thrive off it.
Right.
I get nervous occasionally, but I love it. It's where I where I feel comfortable.
Yeah, sure.
But the first time I played in a band was when I was 16 and my friend had a party and we did a cover band and did like No Doubt songs and White Stripes songs
sick.
And stuff. And I stage dived into like a crowd of drunk people who were doing beer bongs, and I was like, I'm gonna be in a band. Like after that moment.
Huge.
Cool. Yeah.
That's pretty sick.
That's very cool.
Can you top that down?
Yeah.
No, I definitely can't top it. I feel like maybe the first time I played in front of an audience was I think there was like a lunchtime music class concert in high school.
Yeah.
And I feel like we all had to make these little bands and stuff, and I feel like every single band just did a Nirvana song.
Cute.
So every band just played Nirvana. So I think we played, I'm going to say it was like Come As You Are, I think. And I think, if I remember correctly, we had like, there was like a young lady singing the song. I can't remember who it was, but, and a really old friend of mine, Frank Mortar, who plays in the band Series.
Oh, yeah.
Was the drummer in my high school Nirvana cover band. And now he's conquering the Australian music community in his rock band. Yeah. There's a little fun fact for you.
Oh, goddamn. Yeah. I love that guy. What a little weapon.
Oh, isn't he just a little monster?
Yeah, a little pocket rocket. Gotta love it. You mentioned there were a couple of bands kicking around before Pagan took off. What kind of stuff are you doing before Pagan started?
Little Lamb and the Rosemarys, which is the only other band I've been in, was very influenced by maybe Yeah Yeah Yeahs and a few 90s Riot Girl bands.
Maybe
also a little bit of Black Flag in the mix. Yeah. It was very punk. We were just doing something very authentic. We weren't trying to, you know, please any particular genre, but we would kind of decorate the stage with dolls, and I would become a little bit of a character. Like, I was Little Lamb, and the rest of them were Rosemarys.
Okay. I was a Rosemary.
Yeah, so Dan was a Rosemary, and there were two other Rosemarys, and it was a very good way to introduce me into the music scene. And very much for me how to use my voice safely.
Right.
Because I wouldn't scream as much in that band, but I screamed a bit, so I was able to ease myself into the vocal stuff I do now. Dan played in a number of
bands. I played in a few bands. Like, before Pagan and before Little Lamb and the Rosemarys, I kind of played, like, a lot of sort of fast, melodic punk and hardcore stuff.
Oh, sure, yeah.
If you kind of go back and listen to it now, it's all pretty dated, but it's cool, because that's essentially how I met Xavier and Matt, like, our guitar player and drummer. From doing those kind of, propaganda rip-off bands.
Yeah, of course.
Which is lovely, because they're, obviously two of our best friends in the entire world. And then before that, I played in, like, a chaotic, like, metalcore band called Jack the Stripper.
Who
existed for, like, 15 years
after having not even one original band.
And it's cool. We ended up playing with them on that Totally Unicorn tour, and I didn't know anyone in the band that... because none of them were in the band when I was in the band, and they were all really nice. And when I was in the band, they were kind of all dicks. It's good that I think they're not together anymore, but it's nice that they ended on a high note.
That's
cool.
Did you get to play around much, like, touring-wise with those bands?
Yeah, and I shouldn't kind of, like, undersell, because I definitely learned a little bit about how to tour and travel with a band, and how to save money in particular ways, and how, you know, I definitely learnt how to deal with the heartbreak of being a very, very small touring band in Australia, and ultimately, set me up to not suffer the disappointments as hard as I maybe used to and stuff. Yeah. So it was cool. It was just like a young kid learning all of this really cool stuff and having fun with your dickhead friends. And also just kind of learning ultimately as you get older what you like and what you don't like and what works and what doesn't work. And I think Pagan, for both of us, is sort of a culmination of kind of just understanding what we want to do and what feels good to us and what makes us happy.
Do you remember the first Little Lamb show?
Yeah, I do. It was in Dan's kitchen at a party. I remember I got my friend to make me this see-through black dress. I wore a black leotard under it, and it had like a giant cigarette sewn to the front in sequins. Then I don't smoke, so I don't know why I wore that. But we just played for about 15 minutes, and it was probably the most nervous I've ever been before a live performance.
Yeah, right.
But then after doing it, I was like, I can fucking do this. It's easy. Like,
yeah. I was real nervous to play in my kitchen as
well. Yeah. And I was like, I've watched so many people do this, and, you know, so many friends do it, so many friends play in bands, and I know I can perform, so I know I can fucking do this.
Yeah.
And it was a good icebreaker.
Right,
I don't know what year that was. It was
a
while ago now.
Yeah, maybe about five. 5 years ago.
Maybe even longer.
I lived in this horrible house in like Flemington, which is sort a suburb just outside of the city in Melbourne. And this place was disgusting. And it had like, there were trees outside that were growing into the house. So there was like foliage on the walls in the house that were coming through. And it was like, there was rats and... It was,
and there was no key in the front door. It just had like a code.
Yeah, it had a pin code. That's right. And it was, it was fucking gross. And that was another thing I learned is I never want to live in a house like that ever again. that was the biggest takeaway from Little Lamb and the Rosemary's is that I want to live somewhere with a working shower.
Yeah.
Fucking diva.
Yeah. Totally.
So, okay, skip forward. Where and when is the first pagan show?
The first pagan show was upstairs at the Tote in Collingwood.
Oh, sick, yeah.
When we were booking the show, Dan sent the booker of the Tote the name of our band, and he was like, you know, we're booking the show, we're called The Pagans, and the booker came back and was like, oh, one of my favourite bands from the 70s is called The Pagans. And we were like, fuck, we can't call ourselves that then.
But you're making out like he told us in a nice way. All he did was just send a YouTube link to their record. Didn't even, like, respond. And
really?
We were like, yeah. And so I was like, all right, well, can we play at your venue if we change the name to The Pagan? So, yeah, that was a cool show. It was on Good Friday. Very, very... strategically on Good Friday. We called it Bad Friday.
Yeah.
It's a little mini festival. I just booked the whole thing myself, and that was meant to be, I think a lot of us thought that was meant to be the only show, to be honest, but it was really good. We all wore white, I'm pretty sure. You didn't wear white.
Sure.
We all wore white. You wore black. That was cool.
And we got a really good turnout, and we got a few people there who have helped us today with some great opportunities who were there at that first show.
Yeah, just by chance.
Which is really special.
Yeah, like Josh Merrill from Short Fast
Loud. Yeah.
That's, I met him that night and he was like, send me a demo, you know? And so, it was a little bit of luck involved, but it was a good show. Like, I remember being really happy with how we played and, you know.
Yeah, of course.
The songs went over.
Yeah, so you two were in a band previously. How did you, come together with the other... half a pagan.
So I used to play in a punk band called Cavalcade.
Yeah.
Which was sort of like fast, kind of melodic punk, hardcore punk.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And so we used to play a lot of shows with Matt and Zave's old band, who were called Kill the Matador.
Oh, yeah, I remember them.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And they were great. They were, I tell this story all the time, but they were my favourite band for such a long time.
Yeah.
And, no one cared except for me, but I loved them so dearly.
Yeah.
I've got a Kill the Matador tattoo that that I got because, obviously I love those boys so much. You know, you meet a lot of other bands and stuff, and you obviously make friends, but I started just hanging out with Matt and Zave. We were just, even aside from music, we were just into so much of the same stuff. We were all skateboarding at the time. We were all into the same kind of films and art, and we were going to get food once a week and stuff, and just kind of developed this friendship that I guess just transcended being dudes in bands that and whatever. So I think, and we all kind of got to a point where we were pretty done with doing bands, but we sort of said it's what we all do, so we'll give it a go, we'll try and write some stuff. And We wrote three songs that we were really happy with, and when the conversation about who would sing for the band came up, I think all three of us very unanimously wanted to make sure that it wasn't just another white dude singing about his feelings, and we wanted to try and find someone who maybe represented a different point of view, but also someone who could perform and sing on the songs in a way that would do them justice. And to be honest, there was no one else. I guess had to be you.
Aww.
Unfortunately, it had to be you, Nikki Bruman. No, but it was sort of just this real exercise in kind of putting together my dream band.
Yeah, I even remember when Matt, Zave, Dan, and I all went out for a night when we decided I was joining the band, and we. You know, it was kind of for me to meet them properly. I'd met them through social circles, but they just, we all got along like best friends on the first night.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And that was the most important thing.
Yes.
Yeah.
Well, we were all pretty done with doing bands for the sake of doing bands.
Yeah.
We really wanted to, if we were going to pursue something, it had to be meaningful and it had to be with people that we wanted to be around. Yeah. So it all worked out.
That's
really
an interesting,
well.
Yeah, that's an interesting contrast, like, saying, like, you know, the three of you, like, the instrumentalists in the band, like, already have, like, this years and years of experience in, like, various bands, and, like, you've been through the ringer a bunch of times, whereas, Nikki, this is your, you know, second band, ostensibly, you know, so, like, you're, you know, relatively coming to this with a relatively fresh perspective, whereas the other three, this is kind of like a second win, like a second phase of,
yeah,
like, music entirely.
Totally, and it definitely... Nikki's, your attitude is definitely really, it was definitely very beneficial for us because, like I said, we were so pessimistic in the beginning.
Yeah.
But in saying that too, like, I knew they were good songs. Like, I just, there was something about what we'd written where I was like, fuck me, I don't want to do another band again, but I also know that this is some of the best stuff. This is the best stuff I think I've ever been capable of doing. So Nikki definitely experienced some of the highs and lows of playing in a, you know, a punk band in Australia in through Little Lamb too, so she definitely
sure.
understands road dogging, as they say.
I'm playing to a room of
no people and not getting paid any money and not, you know,
it's a good introduction.
It was, that band was a great introduction if there ever was
baptism
one,
by fire though.
Yeah. Fucking oath.
Getting to do stuff for the first time, like proper, you know, like headlining tours and, you know, stuff that you, you know, may not have had the chance to do previously. How have you found that, you know, in the last couple of years of, you know, doing Pagan?
I think it's been, you know, it's been a really great experience. It's something you learn as you go.
Yeah.
Like, the interesting thing is that unless you've been in a band on tour, you never really know what it's like unless you've done
totally.
It a bunch of times. And it's, you know, throughout it, we've all grown so much as a band just by going on tour and learning things.
Totally. Yeah. Yeah, I think so. I think for us too, it's been such a gradual, you know, it's, I think we've managed to get ourselves to a point where these opportunities are happening. Maybe a little bit quicker than some bands, but it's still been a very gradual thing. So it's sort of, it's not like we woke up one day and we were getting, you know, to play stadiums with Rise Against. Like, all of that was a real sort of work in progress.
Yeah.
And so it's sort of almost like, I just think at the pace that we've taken it, we've done it in a way where we're, you know, we're very grateful that it's happening and, you know, things there's a buzz around it and stuff. But I think too, we're also very humbled by the fact that we know that not everyone gets this opportunity, but at the same time, like, fucking work for it, man. Like,
yeah,
you know, so
I think as well, we've all played our cards right with, like, choices we've made with the band, and we're all a little over the hill now, and none of us want to be in a band that is just playing 20 shows every week to build, you know. And I think there's some bands that works for, and some bands I can think of off the top of my head that have built their careers on doing the DIY punk thing and playing a million shows, but we just didn't come into this band with that mentality.
Yeah.
We knew what we wanted, and I think we had a really clear objective, and it's just really nice to be able to fulfill that objective now.
Sure. Yeah, totally.
And
now that, you know, you've spent the last few years kind of, like, you know, pushing that stone up the hill, it must be gratifying to, you know, have, you know, like you said, doing this headlining tour and have people, you know, properly paying attention to you guys. I always say that my friends' bands have made it when people we don't know start coming to the show.
Yeah, exactly. 100%.
That's what we
say 100%. As well.
Yeah, there's such a difference between playing to a room that has 20 of your friends there, and then a room of 20 strangers, because 20 strangers will buy your shirts.
Yeah.
Your mates want them for free, and they don't want to, and they all want door spots. So.
And they drink your Ryder.
Yeah.
No
Ryder Spider.
Yeah. Yeah, totally. And that was, I think, like, well, that was something that we always tried to focus on too, because it's very, very easy, I think, to get into this sort of this sort of habit of, you know, playing to your friends, you know. I've seen bands who kind of, like, they'll have in jokes with their mate Joffa, who's in the front row and stuff, and it's actually, like, took me a really long time to realise, like, that stuff's quite it's actually quite excluding to someone totally, who's not in on the joke. Yeah. So, you know, we wanted the shows to be for everybody. And, as a result, I think that people feel pretty comfortable at a pagan show and it's a party for everyone and not just our handful of mates who got in for free.
Oh, gosh. Okay, so we'll wrap it up here, but before we do that, I ask this of all of my guests, and now it's your turn, Pagan. I want to know about the best and worst shows you have ever played.
The worst show by far was a show we played for this music festival thing at the Tote years ago.
Right, okay.
And it was pouring rain. It was like torrential rain.
Like,
and literally three people turned up.
Yeah.
Oof.
And we were just so...
Were you indoors?
Indoors.
It was like 3 o'clock in the afternoon, and like the thing about this show, there's like six bands playing. I swear to God, two of them broke up before the show.
Two of them broke up.
One band got stuck in like Adelaide or something.
And then we ended up going out for dinner after with one of the bands and just got really fucking drunk because we were so pissed about it.
Dinner was good. Laser Pig in Melbourne, best pizza in the world. Maybe in the world.
What was the best show?
Best show Melbourne the other week was pretty sick.
Yeah.
I think that maybe an equal tie between the Melbourne show and the Brisbane show on this tour for me.
Yes.
Because there's just something very special about. Again, like we've never headlined a tour before.
I actually think my favourite show we've ever played is. Was when we played Dead of Winter Festival in Brisbane the other month, and we got
to play, and we
were like, oh, it's a big venue, it's like 1,000, and we were just like, we're not gonna fill this, but we got the room full. It was surreal.
It was like 2 days after the record came out, and there was like people were singing the songs,
and obviously like, they weren't all there for us; they were there for the festival.
No, it was
an amazing feeling.
Yeah, of course.
And to play on a stage that big, it was. Fucking cool. And the sound system was so amazing as well.
I remember seeing this like group of people singing along to like, we have a song called Holy Water.
Yeah.
Which wasn't like a single or anything before the record came out. And I was just like, yeah, this song came out 2 days ago.
Yeah.
What the fuck have you been doing for 2 days? Like, how do you know it? Like, that was cool. That was really, really cool.
Oh, that's beautiful. That's amazing. Pagan, you have an album out.
Yep. Yes.
It's out now. It'll be out still by the time that you hear this. What's it called?
Blackwash.
Hell yeah. Where can you get it?
Lots of places. You can get it from probably a local record store, which is probably the best place to go and get it.
Good call.
Or you can get it online through EVP Recordings, our label here. Hassle Records if you're in the... UK or Europe.
You can listen to it on Spotify.
Apple Music has it. The EVP Bandcamp. You can get it from JB Hi-Fi.
Look out.
Sort of everything.
JB Hi-Fi.
You can get it everywhere.
Sure, it's probably more expensive there than anywhere else.
You can probably get it from my mum's house.
Yeah. I've got a few copies in my car if you want to meet up somewhere.
I'm sure we can arrange that.
Yeah.
Lots of places.
Fantastic. Pagan, thank you so much for your time today.
Thanks,
PJY. Thanks for having us, dude.
Unreal. I'm David James Young, and all my friends are in Buffett.